Matt Donnelly joins the show here on Under the Helmet. Great to have him. You know him from Fantasy Vipers, and I know you from, you know, Fantasy Points. You contribute there, BetSports as well, and Fantasy Sports Writers Association as well. And again, you've been an entity for quite some time. We're going to mix it up, talk a more general dynasty in here. We got the aftermath, the new reality after the NFL draft here. But I wanted to start out that, again, a lot of people shifting over to Superflex, but we got a lot of these one quarterback leagues that are still remaining. And I actually saw some pro quarterback arguments that you were making in some of your own drafts here for drafting quarterbacks. Obviously, we've got a ton of pedigree this year at the position. Can you just kind of talk about positional value in one quarterbacks and your approach maybe in the later first round, second round, if you see some of those top quarterbacks still there and kind of where your value points are versus the other positions?
I think what it comes down to is knowing what your roster is, knowing your league mates. So, for example, I had an FPPC draft actually recently where I kind of looked over my lineup. It's a best ball type league. Did I need a quarterback? Not necessarily, but I'm looking at Dak Prescott. I'm looking at Will Levis. Still one quarterback. That should be good. But I'm sitting there and I get to the point where I'm at 107 and Caleb Williams is sitting there. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I don't necessarily need Williams. But if I'm looking down the road, like in a dynasty league, this guy gives me the best opportunity to win later. So normally I'm the kind of guy that waits for a quarterback, especially in these one QB leagues. If we're talking about like a redraft league, I'm usually not even drafting a quarterback until round 7, round 8, somewhere a little bit longer. I'm getting the quarterback 10, 11, 12. Look at the numbers that we had last season. If you look at the top 12, I know there's no Lawrence, there's no Burrow, but if you look at the top 12 fantasy finishes last year, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Dak Prescott, okay, we could have seen those guys there. Lamar Jackson, absolutely. But then it comes like Jordan Love, Brock Purdy, Patrick Mahomes is in there, Jared Goff, Baker Mayfield, Tua Tagovailoa, Sam Howell, Russell Wilson. You don't need to draft a quarterback early, whether it's redraft or really in these dynasty things in one QB leagues, because there's going to be value later on. However, there's a point where value becomes too hard to pass up. And when I look at this year's class, I really like the three top wide receivers there in Adunze, Neighbors, and of course, Harrison Jr. Throw in Jonathan Brooks and Trey Betts in there if you're looking at that running backs and Brock Bowers. So now you're like, okay, we get to 107. Is the wide receiver 4, wide receiver 5, RB3 worth more than QB1, QB2? Because if you're looking at someone like Caleb Williams versus Jaden Daniels, and by the way, I'm a Jaden Daniels truther. If you go back, I think Scott Baer wrote something in an article I read from Fantasy Points where last season, Jaden Daniels averaged like 40 fantasy points per game or something absolutely insane. So you're getting some value in that position there. And for the record, Jaden Daniels, he can throw the ball. He can sling it. He's more than just a running quarterback. So you look at this late first, 107, 108, 109 in this particular season, I don't mind taking a quarterback that early. One QB league, I'm probably not taking him with those first three picks because I really love those three wide receivers. That being said, from a dynasty perspective, if you don't have a quarterback and you enter and you cannot trade back, because remember, anyone can tell you if you got the 101, trade back, go back, get Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels. It takes two to dance. You can't necessarily trade back sometimes because people don't necessarily want to trade up or pay what the cost is to move up. So in that case, you have to go out there and get your guys. So I think it's very league dependent, and it really depends on what your roster looks like, in my opinion.
Yeah, the one thing that I always kind of – you have to really have a good pulse in one quarterback leagues is the possibility of exiting, because if you're too robust at the position, like let's say you had – you know, Josh Allen and Dak Prescott. And you're like, well, I got one of them at a value. So now you got two guys and you're sitting, you know, and you're thinking about, oh, it's 108, 109, Caleb Williams. Well, now if you go to three quarterbacks, you really got to start thinking about your exit strategy. One example I would make is the quarterback value just is not there. I traded Justin Herbert and 201 in a one quarterback for Josh Allen. And it was 201. I saw it pretty flat. And I had another pick coming up and I said, instead of trying to get a player that might be marginal for my lineup, I said, what if I just supercharge and upgrade one of my surefire lineup spots? You know, so getting Josh Allen or going for Mahomes, I was really only looking for those two guys to upgrade from Herbert. But I do think, you know, if you have one guy you feel pretty good about, another alternate strategy to what you're saying, of just, you know, maybe you're just going to take a quarterback, I always say have an exit strategy. And the exit strategy might be within the same draft where you try to upgrade, you know, by including that pick, you know, because if you, let me ask you this. I mean, if you were able to trade, you said Dak Prescott and you had someone else. Let's say if it was Dak Prescott and 107 to get Josh Allen, would you have done that deal, or would you rather draft and take up another roster spot with Caleb Williams?
I agree with you. I'm doing that run. I'm going 107. I'll give Dak and I'll move up to Josh Allen in a one quarterback league.
Yeah.
It seems like you're giving up a lot, but again, you have to know what is gone already. Like you're already projecting the
Yeah.
best players already off the
Right.
board. The only guys I really, there's six guys that I absolutely think would benefit my lineup that are not Jaden Daniels and not Caleb Williams. So if those guys are all gone, if one of them drops, say Caleb Williams goes at 105, I'm probably going to hang on to Dak. I'm going to keep the pick. I'm not going to go with Jaden Daniels. I'm going to get one of those
You
difference
would get
makers,
Odunze or
non-quarterback.
Bowers or someone
Yes.
like that. I wanted to ask though, how do you feel any differently pre-draft versus post-draft versus it seems like once or twice a week we're getting new news about Rashee Rice. So does that make you feel better about Xavier Worthy, or is he too low on your spectrum pre-draft or right after the NFL draft to say that he's in that, you know, 106, 107, 108 kind of zone in a one quarterback?
I think it gets really confusing in that area. I think it's a very interesting tier between Xavier Worthy. We had Keon Coleman land in a pretty good situation there with Buffalo, even though Josh Allen's still going to vulture a lot of those touchdowns away, which is what we need, especially when we're talking about fantasy production. And those touchdowns are so important. Xavier Worthy is an interesting one because it's not just Rashee Rice that is going to factor into this. My man there, Marquise Hollywood Brown, is going to play a factor. Travis Kelce plays a factor. Isaiah Pacheco is going to play a factor. So there's so many different factors there with the Kansas City Chiefs and what they've done this offseason. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later as well, because I do love myself some Hollywood when it's all said and done. But yeah, Xavier Worthy, he's in that tier. Ladd McConkey comes to mind. So you want to look for this opportunity. Who's going to give you the best opportunity for production? Where the mouths are to feed, kind of factoring all that when you make those decisions. And I think there's a clear drop-off after Odunze and Brock Bowers before you get to Xavier Worthy, Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman. Throw Xavier Leggett in there too, if you will, because of where he landed with Carolina. So I think
It's a
Xavier
big group
Worthy
of
could
wide
be
receivers.
there is. And I think Worthy is definitely worthy of being selected. He's definitely a first-round selection in fantasy drafts. I just would rather go, okay, I'll trade you Xavier Worthy. Say he's the guy who drops there and Dak Prescott, and I'll go out there, I'll get Josh Allen. I like that deal for the guy acquiring Josh Allen.
Okay. And you know, you mentioned Will Levis, you had him on this team. Tennessee Titans are in my opinion, I'm going to call it confusing slash interesting for this coming season. They've added a truck ton when you look at Calvin Ridley. You know, they keep adding to all these positions. Tony Pollard was a huge contract in relation to free agency there at running back. They had Tajay Spears. A lot of people liked him early in the offseason. What do you kind of think of this backfield? You know, do you think there's going to be a clear right answer? Do you kind of think, you know, Tony Pollard actually did better in a committee? Maybe him being a workhorse is not, you know, was not as conducive for his skill set. Spears dynamic. He's got those couple of knees that we didn't know coming into the draft if he was going to be one that's long for the NFL, but he was dynamic last year. Is there going to be a bright answer, like someone that's in the top 8 to 10? Or do you think this is, you know, a couple guys that are going to be running back 2, 3 types for fantasy?
Yeah, I see this as RB2s all the way. The Titans basically signed themselves an older version of Tajay Spears there with Tony Pollard. I mean, they're one and the same, in my opinion. They both offer very similar skill sets. But before we kind of talk about Pollard, let's look at what Spears did last season. 8.8 fantasy points per game. We all had a good feeling. Derrick Henry's gone. We knew Derrick Henry wasn't coming back, so we all got excited about Spears. And you know what? Rightfully so. You look what he did, fifth in explosive run rate. 14th in yards after contact per attempt, 7th in target share, 10th in targets per route run. I mean, 17th in yards per route run. You're thinking, hey, this is great. And then the Titans go out there and they sign Tony Pollard, who has the exact same skill set. He did the exact same thing in Dallas. That's why him and Ezekiel Elliott were so good together. I don't know if these guys are going to coexist the same way Tony Pollard and Ezekiel Elliott did, because they're so similar. Now, I do think they do help each other. I think the Tennessee Titans look back at Tajay Spears. They look back at those knees. They looked at a bunch of things. They're like, yeah, you know what? We're not 100% sold that this guy could carry the load like Derrick Henry. This was one of the most run-heavy teams last season, the season before, because they had Derrick Henry. They got on his back. They rode him as hard as they could, and they kind of got to where they needed to go. But Tony Pollard was struggling last season, especially the first part. He basically had a tale of two halves. Again, he was not also used to being that workhorse back. Pollard was never asked to be the workhorse back. He got that opportunity last year, but he also got that opportunity while he was injured. So if you take a look at his splits from week 11 to week number 18, you'll see that he had like a 90.8 rushing grade there, which was tops amongst the running backs. His yards after contact per attempt was 13th. He averaged 3.2 yards in that. And his first down touchdown rate was 24.8%, which was also 13th in the league. He was also, again, fifth in avoided tackles per attempt at 0.29 during the final 8 weeks. So again, you look at Tajay Spears, what I just said there, you look at Tony Pollard, very similar type players. I don't know how this one's going to play out. And I'm avoiding it because I do think you have yourself players who are going to be better because of their efficiency rather than their workload. There's only about five guys that trust at the running back position, maybe six based on their workload. And these two, they ain't it. But I'll tell you what, one guy I do think is sneaky in all this is the one running back that the Titans have who's not like these two, and that's my boy there, the dog himself, Dylan Johnson out of the University of Washington. This guy, 1,195 yards last season, 16 touchdowns. That was sixth in the all FBS there. The dude can run through tackles. He's definitely, we know that he can get the job done. He can punch it in from the 1-2 yard line, top as they come. This guy, I don't know if this guy was ever healthy last season. You watched him in the championship games there and whatnot. He was a shell of himself. He was basically running on one leg, but he was still going out there, still getting the job done, still running through tackles. I think he's the complement back that you need to these two running backs. I don't know how those two are going to work, but I have a feeling that Dylan Johnson is going to find a way to have a role in this team, which is going to really convolute this whole situation altogether.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised seeing the market. I figured it would have been Tony Pollard. Let's boost him all the way back. You know, there's some ambiguity. He's coming off a down year. I thought he'd be valued like a later first, you know, and Spears would probably be a later second in the marketplace. It's not that much. You know, we've got Pollard probably in the mid to later second. Spears might be available for a third. And I'll tell you, Spears, the dynamic talent, I'm willing to take a shot on that, you know, because I'm kind of thinking about what running backs will be there in the later second or early third. We're talking day three backs that we haven't seen much of anything on what that rotation is going to be like, or even if they can win the running back two role. We know Spears has it, you know, at time and being. And it sounds like, you know, especially, you know, what you're recommending is if, you know, you're in a league with taxi squads, or especially if you got like a 5-round rookie draft, or if you can pick up some rookies after your 3 or 4 round rookie draft, Dylan Johnson's going to be there. I don't think I've seen a 3 or 4 round rookie draft yet where he's been drafted. So that sounds like the perfect stash of just, hey, see what's going on this year. And maybe at worst, you're going to have to decide maybe next off season, once you get some data points on, do I cut him or do I promote him to my active squad?
Well, that's it. Johnson's free right now. I think I got him in the fifth round. I've been getting him after drafts, like you said. I mean, he's worth the stash to see how this backfield plays out, because I'm not certain that this is going to be this Titans backfield. Something just doesn't feel right to me. You don't have that guy who's going to be the hammer. Tony Pollard's not the hammer. Spears isn't the hammer. They can run between the tackles when they're asked to, but I don't think they can do it with any kind of consistency, at least not what we saw last year from either one of these guys.
Well, based on what you're saying, it sounds like you were very surprised they brought in someone specifically like Tony Pollard with the contract that they did, because it's redundant to a rookie deal that they have in Tajay Spears. They should have gone after someone different, like maybe Josh Jacobs, you know, or someone a little more prototypical, because they could have found that on day three or super late with minimal investment, someone like Dylan Johnson or a few others there late in the draft. Rookie running backs, you know, we kind of already alluded to that. You mentioned Dylan Johnson. So it sounds like, again, he doesn't even really have an ADP. So he doesn't really count. He's like the super dark corners of the low lit room, you know, in terms of who you're targeting there. But let's talk about, you know, taking out Jonathan Brooks, taking out Trey Benson. ADP, you know, varies wildly on the rest of the guys, but we're probably talking, you know, somewhere in the mid second round, later second round of Superflex, and then deeper into the draft. Is there one guy that you get enough questions about that you say, hey, target this guy, draft this guy, you know, building out a draft plan for you and other folks that you say, this is one of the centerpiece running backs that you should get more shares of than the rest in that subset.
So I'll start this off by saying the rookie running backs, they did not have a good showing in the draft. You're not going to be, you couldn't just sit there and be like, hey, that's a great spot for that running back. I mean, nothing really stood out. Benson in Arizona, basically the Cardinals got another version of James Conner. Good for them. Jonathan Brooks in Carolina, great landing spot. I mean, Miles Sanders, Chuba Hubbard, those aren't Dave Canales guys. The one guy I do kind of like here, and I've been getting him in the about 207 range in a lot of drafts, is Marshawn Lloyd. I think that's a good spot because I do have concerns about Josh Jacobs and how he finished that 2023 season. I mean, he's still young. He could still rebound. Maybe it was a bad year. Maybe he was battling some injuries. We don't always know the entire situation there. But last season, his explosive run rate, that dipped to 3.9%. That was 48th amongst 49 qualified running backs. His yards per carry ranked 44th. And that was 3.5 yards per carry. His yards after contact per carry dropped from to 46th. And that average was 2.4 yards per attempt. While his forced missed tackle rate, 0.12, that was tied for 43rd. And you'd be like, oh, that's the Raiders line. But then Zamir White came in and disproved all of that. He came in, played good. The explosive run rates were there for Zamir White. The yards per carry were there for Zamir White. So I do have some concerns about Josh Jacobs, which means I feel pretty good about Marshawn Lloyd and what he did at USC. Now, for bang for your buck, I'm willing to take a shot at Tyrone Tracy there of the New York Giants. That's the running back I think you can get late in the fourth round, somewhere in that 407 range, and he has an opportunity which some of these other running backs don't have. Now, I'm torn on this because I love myself some Devin Singletary. Let's be honest here. I think Devin Singletary needs more love out there, but that's the only guy stopping Tyrone Tracy right now from being the number one back in New York. And if that's the case, he's probably got the best chance to basically overtake the incumbent running back that's already on the roster somewhere. If you look at all these other running backs, opportunity is key. I think he's coming off the board somewhere with an ADP of like 200, RB60. I didn't really get quite a look at that. That number, it's going to climb. Now, Tracy, he's a little bit older, 6 years in college. I go back to the whole Chris Farley thing. Lots of guys go to college for 6 years. Yeah, they're called doctors. Well, Dr. Tracy, he is a doctor when it comes to running the football. I'll put it that way. Look at the numbers here. I'm not saying that he's going to be David Johnson, but in 2019, his yards per route run as a running back was 2.26. That was the third best total amongst all pass catchers, running backs in this year's draft class behind Harrison and Neighbor. So Tyrone Tracy was number three when you take a look at that. And then among all Power Five running backs in this class, Tracy's 2023 season ranked first in yards after contact there per attempt, 4.44, and second in missed tackles forced at 0.41. Basically, and this is the guy who didn't really play a whole lot of running back. He's like an Antonio Gibson guy. He was like a converted wide receiver. So he's still learning the position here himself. And I'm willing to take a shot at this guy's lottery ticket, a fourth round guy. The competition is not necessarily there unless you call Eric Gray competition, which guess what? I don't. So it's Devin Singletary, it's Tyrone Tracy, and I think he's got an opportunity to be something ahead of a lot of these other running backs that were drafted ahead of him.
Going back to Marshawn Lloyd for a second, I think the really appealing thing within this class is you got guys like Blake Corum and Marshawn Lloyd that they're really affordable. You know, the day two profile, everyone's bagging down the class and saying, it's horrible. And so many wide receivers that didn't get round one pedigree got some intriguing landing spots. And you put all those guys, you know, up in the top 15 to 18, and it pushes down running backs that have good profiles that, let's be frank, you know, if there's an injury and you get to like, you know, October, November, those are the guys that can win leagues. You know, someone like Ricky Pearsall is probably not going to win your league this year. Like, I don't care if Ayuk gets traded tomorrow, Deebo Samuel's out for a month. I don't think Ricky Pearsall is going to win your league. Someone like Marshawn Lloyd, if he gets the injury to Josh Jacobs, and I don't think AJ Dillon, I think they kind of know what they have, and he's a placeholder, you know, until the point in time Marshawn Lloyd just zooms past him like a speed bump in a parking lot. So I think guys like that, you know, we can say that the class is a negative, but price is key. And when you say it's a later second round pick for guys like Marshawn Lloyd, sounds like a good long-term investment, because if you get a long-term injury away guy, man, you're just waiting for that to turn into dynamite, you know, in season. Matt Donnelly, thank you so much for popping on here, sharing your time and talents. Where are some of the places people can find you? What are some of the projects and content that, again, folks that want to find your work can do so as they lead up to week one this year?
Yeah, this year I plan on being a little bit of everywhere here heading into the 2024 season. Of course, the Vipers Network, I drop YouTube videos there all the time. So, I mean, just type in Dynasty Vipers in your YouTube search and I'll pop in there. Same with Rotoballer. You catch a lot of my video content over at Rotoballer. And if you're a subscriber there at Fantasy Points, jump in the Discord channel because I am there basically 24/7 to answer all your questions from keeper leagues to Dynasty to redraft to salary cap leagues. I mean, IDP, throw that in there too. I got you covered. I mean, a little bit of everything. I got a couple projects coming out here in the summer here. I'm hoping to kind of pan out for me. We're kind of in the middle of writing some stuff for that. And then, of course, I have an article that I'm kind of iffy on. I don't know if you get this way, Chad, or not, but I've got this article that's sitting in my drafts that I keep looking at and antagonizing over. I'm like, man, do I want it? Do I want to publish this? Do I know where to publish it? I mean, does it deserve to be published? Should it be published? I don't know. So I got an article right now that I'm kind of hee-ho humming about here that could possibly drop this summer. Who knows? No guarantees.
Ooh, teaser. That's what they call a professional teaser in the business. And again, whatever Matt's working on, you're going to want to follow him at Matt Donnelly FF on X and Twitter. So again, you'll be up to speed on everything he's got going on because you know what? When the mood strikes him, Matt's going to publish. That's what we know here in the coming summer months. So Matt, great to have you on. As I mentioned, I am Chad Parsons. And until next time, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those dynasties.